welcome once again to a stateside edition of the Recency Bias. I say stateside because, in case you haven't noticed, this is not Zach Finas once again. This is Ian Boisvert, the deputy editor at Rabbit Habs Magazine. Zach's a little busy once again, so I'm here to talk about that stinker of a hockey game. Your Canadiens on Thursday night fell to the New York Islanders by a score of 3-1. And they fall to 32-21-8 on the season. 2 points ahead of the Ottawa Senators still, who were idle Thursday night. They play the Hurricanes later on today. Once again, only 2 points ahead of the Sens, but the Senators have 3 games at hand, which is scary, say the least. But let's get into this one. Dark times are ahead of us, I suppose. But once again, the Canadiens, they came out flat. Seems to happen a lot. They get hemmed in their own zone. Teams get up on them shot-wise pretty early on in games. And, of course, the, you know, French-Canadian kid puts the Islanders ahead 1-0. Anthony Beauvillier, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. His first game at the Bell Center, he scores. His parents are there. Dad's crying. Great theater, not for a Habs fan, but hockey fan, I guess. It's a pretty cool moment. That's his 6th of the season from Nelson and Letty. And from Canadiens fans' perspective, I'm looking at what the hell Petrie was doing on that play. Terrible gap control. He just loses Beauvillier. And he sneaks in behind him and scores, which was a theme throughout the night. I don't know how many times I lost count. It was at least 4, where the 2 defensemen were standing basically at the hash marks, and an Islander had the puck directly in front of Carey Price, uncontested. Not typical of a Claude Julien defense, but maybe they're just bugs. Still working on a new system. But it's only 1-0. It shouldn't have sunk them. Unfortunately, in the first, the turnovers might have. They spent very little time with the puck because they were consistently turning the puck over. Unforced errors, trying to make passes through players. For a team that's struggling, they can't afford to do that. They get in an offensive scoring chance and they pass the puck directly into the guy's skates in front of them. You can't afford to do that if you're struggling. Wrap the puck around the boards. Keep it away from the other team. Hopefully a good scoring chance pops out of that, but they forced a lot of their turnovers. A lot of this was self-inflicted. So the second starts, and they had a great first 5 minutes, and then it went to garbage again. But in the first 5 minutes, the second line, which was comprised of Alex Galchenyuk, Brendan Gallagher, and Paul Byron for the time being, they created a couple quality scoring chances. It's just nothing seems to be going right for this team, and some of that's roster-wise, but even when they're in good scoring chances like this, they're having a hard time finding the net. I'm not a color commentator, but that's when they would say they're gripping their sticks a little too much, second-guessing their shots, trying to pick corners. It's a sign of a frustrated team. And after that, it got bad. Anders Lee scored his 23rd of the season from Bailey and Tavares to put the Islanders up 2-0. And again, it's a blown defensive play. Emelin loses Lee, the eventual goal scorer, because he was trying to cover Bailey, who was coming down Weber's wing. There was no reason for Emelin to cover Bailey. Weber had him. Because he leaves his post on the left side to try to cover Bailey, Lee is able to just sneak in behind him, receives a pass, and he has a breakaway from the faceoff circle. Another team that had a rough second period were the officials. Late in the second period, the brouhaha that came out of nothing was frustrating to see. Late in the second, Emelin lays a clean hit on Tavares, shoulder to chest. Tavares flips backwards. No worse for it, gets right up. It was a clean hit. Not often does Emelin do that, nowadays at least. When he hits, it's usually really bad. Tavares then gets up and follows Emelin into the corner after the puck. Seemed like a pretty routine play, but if you know a guy like Tavares, you know that he's a competitor and he doesn't like that. Tavares makes eye contact with Emelin and then jumps in front of him and decides that puck's not worth it. I'm taking the guy. It just so happens that the puck was rolling to the left 15 feet away. And Tavares decided, I'm not going for the puck. I'm going to interfere with Emelin instead. And Emelin, not surprised by the hit, it was pretty obvious, throws Tavares down to the ice. And then gets roughed up in the corner. And Emelin gets 4 minutes, two for interference and two for roughing. The Islanders roughing canceled that out. But I don't understand how that's even an interference penalty on Emelin. It was pretty obvious that Tavares jumped in front of his ice, took away his ice. As far as double standards go, that's got to be pretty high on the list. I know they have a hard job. I used to be a baseball and softball umpire. I got yelled at a lot. But that's a rough call to make. It was clear as day. He jumped in front of him. And it didn't hurt the Canadians, and I'm not whining, oh, the refs cost us this game, but that was brutal. And the referees this season have been consistently brutal. And it's not just with the Canadians. Every team, every fan has complained that these officials are bad. So that's just the world we live in at this point. So that penalty carried over to the third period, where the Canadians killed it off, and then nothing happened for a long time. The game went stagnant, and that's how the Islanders wanted it. They play a neutral zone trap style. They stopped the Canadians from entering their own zone, and that's just the way it went. The Canadians did, however, get a little bit done, but it resulted in nothing. They scored two goals in 52 seconds, but you wouldn't know it because neither of them counted. The first was a deflection from Paul Byron that was apparently hit with a high stick. I had the Sportsnet feed. It was basically displayed in black and white. I have no idea how any official was able to make a call using the footage, at least the footage that I saw. I hope they have better footage on their 4-inch tablets. But I think there was a little bit of gray area there. I certainly didn't see a look that was convincing to me. And because it's inconclusive, call on the ice stands. And Lekkonen just punched a puck into the net. That one was pretty straightforward. Didn't even need to go to review. And the Islanders sat back. And they shut the Canadians down. Tavares added an empty netter, his 23rd goal of the season. 3-0 shutout on home ice. The fifth straight loss on Bell Center ice for the Canadians. Not a good trend, especially for a team that right now is poised to have home ice in the playoffs, at least in the first round. Shots were 24 apiece, which means that Islanders goaltender Thomas Greiss registered a 24-save shutout. Not a whole lot of work for him. But we learned a little. We didn't learn much in this game. The issues that we saw, we know. Emelin's not a top-pairing defenseman. I don't know if we have a left-handed defenseman who's a top-pairing defenseman. I'm not in on Bolia yet. I'd like to see him in the two role, but that means putting Markov in either the one or the three, which neither makes a whole lot of sense. Go after a guy like Shattenkirk at the deadline? Maybe. He's a right-handed defenseman that can play the left side. But that's all speculation. What we know now is Emelin is not that. In fact, I would argue Emelin isn't a two. Emelin's probably a third left defenseman on an NHL roster. He doesn't chip in offensively. He's a liability defensively, and he can add the occasional hit. It's just the nature of who he is as a player. I think without Michel Therrien here leaning on him, we're going to see the player that Alexi Emelin actually is, and that's not a very good defenseman. Galchenyuk looked better. On Twitter you wouldn't know it, but he looked better. He looks pretty active in the offensive zone, making a ton of plays. The speed is there. He's still looking to make those one-on-one moves. And he's not a defensive liability, at least not in the last two games, especially against the Islanders. At our last look, which was late in the third period, he was 8-for-10 in the faceoff dot. That's been his biggest criticism. Well, it's a two-parter. His defensive liabilities and his face-offs. And his face-offs were fantastic tonight. And he wasn't a defensive liability. You could watch the tape. You could watch him play in the defensive zone. He did not cost his team when they were trying to defend. And another guy that didn't cost his team while they were trying to defend was Shea Weber, who often takes a lot of criticism for his defensive liabilities, whatever they may be. He put the team on his back and tried to mount this comeback. Took a ton of shots late in the third. And he led the Canadiens defensemen in Corsi 4 percentage at 5-on-5, which means he just dominated possession, which is something he's never done well in his career. And he didn't have the power play to boost his stats tonight. He was just good. But you wouldn't know it because the Canadiens lost 3-0. And if you lose, what's it worth? They were careless with the puck. Giveaways all over the place, which is just not something this team is allowed to do. And give the Islanders credit. Like I said, they played that neutral zone trap, and they shut the Canadiens down. They played the trap the whole game. The Canadiens couldn't get the blue line, and that's been a problem for them all season. And so where do we go from here? Is all these issues structural? Are they roster issues? And I think partially that's true. When Pacioretty and Radulov aren't going, which they weren't against the Islanders, I thought they stunk. This team has no jam. They have no gas. They have no legs. So they need a new permanent top six forward. Is that a guy like a Matt Duchene? Because if you say top six forward, Matt Duchene's name always comes up, at least in the last few months. I don't know if it's Matt Duchene. I don't know if the Canadiens could get a Matt Duchene and not deplete their lineup. And they need a partner for Weber. Is that Shattenkirk? Maybe. Is it Sergachev? Yeah. Maybe 2 years from now it's Sergachev. But that solution's not on this roster. It's not Nathan Beaulieu. It won't be Nathan Beaulieu. He doesn't project as a top-pairing defenseman. I don't think he ever has. He's going to be a good second-pairing guy. With a guy like Jeff Petrie. Could the Canadiens find forward help on the farm? They're not getting defensive help from the farm. But could a guy like Charles Hudon come up? 34 games with St. John's, he's got 32 points. And in his last 6 games with the Canadiens over the last 2 years, he has 4 assists. 4 points in 6 games. Now, I think it might be worth a shot, but it might be too late to try that. Because you don't have the ability to, if it doesn't work, make a trade. Because we've got 2 games left before the trade deadline. If it doesn't work with a guy that's on the farm, if it doesn't work with guys in your roster, and you get to Thursday, they're cooked. But I think a Charles Hudon call-up might be worth it. A Nikita Sherbak call-up might be worth it. But who knows? What we do know is that the next game, at least if the Canadiens show up, is Saturday at 7. Against the Toronto Maple Leafs Hockey Night in Canada. That should be a really fun game if the Canadiens can score a goal. If they get one, the bar is low now, isn't it? If they get one, I'm going to be pretty excited. Like I said, we have 2 games remaining before the Wednesday's trade deadline. After Toronto, we've got Columbus. And then I will have coverage from the Rabid Habs account on Twitter, at Rabid Habs. I'll have trade deadline coverage starting at about 12:45. We'll see when I manage to get away from my other responsibilities. But should be an interesting day. We'll see how it goes. There might be a trade between now and then. Who knows? And if there is, expect coverage for it on rabbithabs.com. Expect Zach and Sean to talk about this at some point. Once again, thank you for listening. I should probably get out of here. My name is Ian Boisvert once again, deputy editor at Rabid Habs. Follow me at Boisvert Ian on Twitter. Also follow at Rabid Habs. Follow this podcast at The Montreal Bias. Tell everybody you know. And thanks for listening.